Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
If you are a dreamer, come in. If you are a dreamer, a wisher, a liar, a hoper, a prayer, a magic bean buyer, if you're a pretender, come sit by my fire. For we have some flax golden tales to spin. Come in, come in. Good evening. At this moment, you're joining a community, a smaller community than normal, of poets from around the world. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the Wednesday edition, the first Wednesday. I don't think we've ever done a Wednesday before. October 2nd, 2019. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. I'm here with the man who keeps everything moving. We're here. It just seems so different, man.
It does.
It's so weird. I'm usually like leaving my house around this time.
True.
Well,
a little bit before, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. How are you, JT? How's everything going?
I'm weird. I'm fine.
You're weird.
It was a weird day. It was a fine day.
I'm keeping it weird.
Just keeping it weird over here.
We might be keeping it kind of weird on this show. We don't know how this is going to turn out. For those of you who've joined us, thank you so much. We're really happy to see you there. Right now in the chat room, we see just a few people, but we'll see how this plays out. If it ends up with me reading the Brothers Karamazov, then, we'll do it.
This will be an interesting night.
Of Mice and Men. It'll be like Andy Kaufman, only without the humor.
Sorry.
All right. So, basically, the way this is working is we're doing the shows Wednesday, and we're also doing the show on Friday at the normal time. So this starts earlier because we're just playing with the idea of kind of crafting the time more towards something that people can actually participate in on the East Coast, kind of in the area where most of our listeners actually come from. And then also doing it on a night where people kind of aren't always going out or having things to do. Culturally, things happen on Fridays. So basically, we're just going to give this a test, see how it works. If you have thoughts, we'd love to hear about it. But, you know, things will be a little bit different because normally we do the Clues for the Poet of the Month. We're still going to do that on Friday. We might find some different ways to kind of integrate it here. But I don't know. We'll just kind of feel this out. JT, what do you feel about this? How do you think we should angle this show? Is there anybody have any ideas?
I think we just do what we normally do.
Stick with the fundamentals. Is that what you're saying?
Stick with what we know.
Yeah, that works for Joe Flacco, I'll tell you that.
Well, you know, he did fine. He threw an interception.
He's fine, generally.
Yes.
I don't know what everybody else's problem is.
I don't know either.
We finally get a guy who can connect passes, and now everybody else. And then Chubb's got a torn ACL now.
Partial tear.
Anyway, sorry, we're not going to talk about
Well,
we're not going to talk about sports. We could.
We could.
We could. I don't think anybody cares.
No, probably not.
All right. So let's
if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Sorry,
you know what? That's probably a good point, actually.
Yeah.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go through just a few kind of quick announcements. Then I'll go through the rules, and we'll just get into the first segment, okay? So first of all, we're still accepting submissions for our World Poetry Open Mic Anthology, which is a book that comes out every year. It helps fund us for the rest of the year. You can help contribute to the show by sending work to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Just indicate it's a submission for the anthology in the subject line, and then that will go into the book that we put together. It comes out a little bit before Christmas, and we'd love it if you would consider supporting us in that way. Number two, we have our album, hopefully. That will be coming out. It's just a lot of work. It's a new collection of pieces by Edgar Allan Poe. Well, I mean, once he wrote a long time ago, they're not new pieces by him. New production music, new readings. It's actually going to be really, really cool. It's called Tales from the Shining Sea. And I think it's actually the second Poe thing we've done.
Yeah.
But I think this one just walks all over that other one. And that comes out on, theoretically, on the 25th of October. There'll be singles and stuff coming through. In fact, I'll have one for you on Friday, JT.
Sweet. So,
it's going to be interesting doing this with just a few days gap in between. Like, weren't we just here?
Okay. We normally say that about Wednesday night to Friday night.
We usually do, but now we're
we're
literally going to be in the air. Yeah. All right. And that's right. We're normally meeting right now.
We're meeting right now.
Yeah. I'm usually walking in, getting coffee.
Yep.
In that way, it's not that different. Okay. Then the last piece is just spread it among the, you know, the community that we have here. We're all kind of connected with poets. We've been trying to kind of spread the word. But if you could, if you think of someone who might not know, just reach out. Make sure they know. We're doing the Wednesday night broadcast at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Also, the ones on Friday at 8 p.m. And we just want to see kind of what everybody's thoughts are. So we'd appreciate your help with that. Okay, those are my three announcements. Let's go into the rules. All right, rule number one, as always, no hate speech. We've never done that on the show, and we never will. Rule number two, please skew PG-13 with the work so we can make this a friendly environment for those who would love to learn more about poetry and be part of this community. Rule number three, please be prepared with your poem when we come on the line, just a respect thing for everyone else. Rule number four, keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes. We might go a little bit over with talking, but try to keep your work right around then, just for out of respect as well. And rule number five, this is more for JT and myself, comments and suggestions, we absolutely love them. However, when we're doing the show, sometimes there's so much going on, it's hard for us to remember. So please send them to us, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. And that's the best way because we can actually see it and discuss it during our meetings and when we're off the air. All right. Now, JT, before we go to the call-in segment, what do you feel like the month of October holds for us? I mean, there's, and I'm not talking politically, I'm not talking sports-wise, because there's so much going on, but I mean just the energy of the month. I mean, it ends, I've been 39 for 1 month today.
Right.
Okay. But I know that the end of this month, it ends with Halloween. Which is this is actually one of my favorite months because stories get circulated so easily. What do you think this month holds for us? What's your feeling?
Oddly, new growth.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it's gonna show us some things. I think it's gonna allow us to figure out other little avenues.
Yeah,
little pieces that we can put in.
It's like we're kind of doing something to create the potential for new things to happen.
Yeah,
which is kind of what this Wednesday thing is. And it's like right now we're in here, and because we're so used to the Fridays, it feels like we kind of have some dead space. We don't, but it feels like we kind of do. And so I think by us opening this up, we're going to start thinking, oh, well, we need to tweak this. We need to tweak this. And it's kind of like when you're writing a poem, I think. You do a first draft and you go through and you're like, well, I can kind of expand out this direction or this direction. But you have to do something. You have to put something on the page. You have to think of, you know, some stanzas. You have to kind of firm something up for it to really happen. Don't look at me like that. Okay. So...
Not a problem.
All right. Let's get ready. We're going to do our first call-in segment. I don't even know how many call-in segments we're going to have. We'll guarantee at least two.
Yeah.
If no one calls in the second one, then we'll just automatically trigger the return engagement.
So sounds good.
Pretty straightforward. There will be a Studio X. I don't know. How many do we want to... So we have 9 shows this month. That's a lot, man. Studio X almost any one of those shows. So I figure we definitely should do a Studio X on the second Friday.
Yes.
We'll do an After Dark this Friday.
Yes.
Okay. I might do a Studio X a week from today, too.
Okay.
So Wednesday, Friday.
Wednesday, Friday?
Yeah. Okay. And I'll do different songs. So.
Sounds good.
Good. All right. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And here we are. That was smooth like a baby's bottom. Actually, it really was, except for I did the whole classic thing where, let me put it like this. I remember hearing a joke once about a couple that went over to visit another older couple.
Uh-huh.
And the man goes, "My wife, don't tell her I said this. She's starting to have problems hearing." And he goes, "Honey, what's for dinner?" No response. He kind of points to the kitchen and goes, "See what I mean?" Gets a little bit closer. "Honey, what's for dinner?" Still no response. He kind of looks at the couple and, man, this is really getting bad. He gets right next to the kitchen and goes, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And she goes, "For the third damn time, it's chicken." That's how I just felt when you were talking to somebody. I'm like, "What, JT? What?" Why don't you take off your headphones, Michael?
Just a touch.
Just a touch. So sorry about that. I think I know who that was you were talking to as well. But we've got three callers lined up. That's actually more than I expected.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be honest with you, more than I expected. Fantastic. Okay. So let's just head into it.
Okay.
Sound good? All right.
Sounds good.
So now we are heading to the famous state of New York.
Okay. All right.
And we're going to speak with Zach. Hello, Zach. How are you, sir?
Hey, I can't believe I got number one.
I know. This is crazy. It's like, but like Dennis, I think Dennis is going to be all sorts of incensed over this.
It'll be funny. The next Fridays, he's just going to have these ones for Fridays every night.
Zach. Yeah, I don't think Dennis is competitive. But I think he makes it a point to try to be number one.
How are you guys?
We're doing well. This feels really strange to us. How about you? How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Trying to finish the book, but that's going a little slower than I expected. But that also happens with distractions when you have two dogs.
Yeah, absolutely. I get it, and I got to be honest, I have never met or I've never created a book that I didn't want to strangle when it was over. working on things at the end, I'm saying, like, you are such a pain in the ass. But then I realize I'm just being completely metaphorical and I'm a strange person. Anyway, Zach, how about this? I'm gonna be quiet, let you read, and then we'll talk after, okay?
All right. I think I've shared this one before, but I'm not sure. But, I mean, you know, all my poems are good, so it's still a good poem anyway. It's called Just Because. Just because it's called makeup doesn't mean it has to make up who you are. Just because someone is bullying you doesn't mean they're not being bullied too. Just because someone tells you you're stupid or ugly, it doesn't mean it's true. Now, it's true that just because you read something, it doesn't make it true. But it's important to know that just because you're feeling blue, it doesn't mean it's the end of happiness for you. End of poem.
Very, very true. Very true. I think it's hard sometimes to remember that. When you start, and I've noticed this too, Zach, maybe you have as well, is that, you know, it's so easy to start falling into a pattern where you start feeling, more and more like the world is pressing down on you. And it doesn't mean that it's not in some respect, but, it's really important to keep your perspective in check, I think, because that really affects so much of how you see the world. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we all feel like the universe is against us at some point, but, I mean, you know, there's give and take with everything. So, you know, at some point, it's like the laws of average. You know, if you're gambling, you know, eventually you're gonna win something, and so it's like, you know, it's eventually something good's gonna happen.
You know, that's true. I think that the only difference is we got to make sure that we remember that. There's this great book, and I haven't found it in a while, but I feel like I want to give it to so many people, especially ones I see on social media. The name of the book is Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And the book is all about how our thought patterns whether they're conscious, subconscious, they're learned. We don't know. Obviously, we don't know what we're doing. A lot of times we'll get us the same results because we keep doing the same things over and over and over again. And not to say that life doesn't have its own directions, but that, you know, like I said, and like you pointed out in your piece, you know, we've got to kind of keep our perspective and keep trying to kind of learn and grow as people. And I love your optimism. I really do, Zach.
Thanks. I think it's a, I think the Ananta perspective is probably what I try to, you know, emote in my pieces the most. Like, you know, just because someone is bullying you doesn't mean they're not being bullied too. I mean, you know, right. For some, in everyone who has been bullied, because, you know, when in high school or whatever, when we're kids, we think, you know, why are you doing this to me? When really, the question that we need to ask is, what is happening to you that makes you feel like you have to do this to me?
Exactly. And it's that phrase, I think, was very intelligent, hurt people hurt people. And I think it's very true, you know. So that's there's a lot of wisdom there, Zach. We appreciate your work because of that.
And I appreciate you guys giving me and everyone else the opportunity to share our work.
Hey, we're happy to, my friend. Happy to. And thanks for joining us tonight. We'll have a return engagement here, I have a feeling, in not very long. So we'll see. We'll see. We might get flooded by phone calls in the second segment.
Which would be awesome.
We do not know. We'll find out what happens.
All right. I'll be here for it.
All right. Thank you, sir. That was Zach leading us off here in the first segment, calling from Upper State New York, a small little town. I actually did look it up. We were talking about that the other day.
Yes, we were.
It's a cool little town. I'm not being weird about it. I'm not looking up where he lived, JT.
Yeah, I'd see what he had for breakfast.
Yeah, it's like, okay, well, is there any private eyes I could hire that work in this town? People don't know this. I have a massive private eye budget here at World Poetry Open Mic.
I think we're going to need to restructure that.
It's really strange when 95% of your budget is private investigators.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't even have enough money to keep the lights on, and yet you're still hiring. Yeah, okay. For no reason at all. All right, let's go to, speaking of, I don't know what that segue is about either. Let's go to George in Michigan. All right, let's go to George. Hello, George.
Hey, how are you guys on a Wednesday night?
We're barely holding it together, if you can tell.
I was in the kitchen with some nachos in my face when I looked at the clock and said, "Oh my God, it was 7:49, which is, you know, Eastern."
Yeah,
had me 11 minutes to get in here, so I dashed in. And anyway, glad to be here.
Hey, we're happy you're here too. Thank you.
So, yeah, I was packing Tuesday, where my wife and I are headed up to, we're headed up to down east. I never quite figured out why the historians or somebody, the poets, somebody calls New England down east, but they do. And I always look at my maps, turn it upside down and stuff like that to figure out what's down about New England. But anyway, going up there, the man called from Washington. He wants me to rake some forests up there.
Oh yeah, that's yeah. Good. We need some forest cleaners.
Some forest raking. And,
His reasoning was that the leaves are not yet fallen. They're all getting red and yellow and beautiful. And if I rake now, it'd be a lot easier raking. So before they fall. So.
Well, and I think they also need some more tinder for the dumpster fire happening.
No, jeez. Amazing. I'm not really good at October and Halloween poems, partly because mainly because I haven't written any. And I read one once at a little gathering at the library here that was sort of a weird diabolical story about Halloween. And I got to about the third stanza and looked up, and no one did all left the room, so I got this feeling that it wasn't a very good poem. And
been there with music, too. I had this amazing performance. And to be fair, it was a Beethoven piece. And I just thought it was, finally it worked. And I looked up, and there was no one in the room. It's like, son of a...
Now, that is That is negative feedback.
Yes, it is.
Anyway. The one I'll read now is wrote about a year ago called The Curling of October. Before the leaves begin to drop, before the flower blooming stop, there is a wrinkling on their face. They start a curling, shrinking pace. The leaf faces harden, the edges roll, the blossoms shrink, time takes its toll. The bees have gone, there is no buzz. The frost settles in with its white fuzz. All greenness shrinks, the trees now browned. Then gravity drags them to the ground. They've had their wind, their days of grace. Now nature pulls them from our space. Much like these flowers, trees of power, we humans too begin to sour. As age creeps in, our edges curled, our own Octobers have unfurled. That's end of peace.
It makes me question the audience that you read that in front of there, George. I enjoyed that
one. Oh, no, that was... No, this isn't the one I read there.
Oh, okay.
The one I read there. I don't think people like Halloween jokes about cannibalism. And I can't figure it out.
No,
I can't figure that out because I think it's hilarious. And not ever having been a victim of it myself.
Obviously.
But,
yeah.
I think it's historically very much more common than they taught us in grade school, by the way.
Oh, I think very much so. And I think also it's much, much funnier than they taught us in grade school as well.
Oh, it's way funnier.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, and the fact that people think of this so terrible just makes me want to talk about it more. So.
We actually had an episode, George, just so you know, I think it was in our first year. We did a thing where we talked the people from the radio station into letting us go a little bit long because we were only an hour-long show back then. And we pretended for a few weeks, we built up this idea that we had an intern. And then we barricaded ourselves in the studio all for radio drama purposes. And then within a few minutes, I instantly became concerned about food supply. And then JT, was it you and I, we plotted to kill the intern for food?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so we did a whole cannibalism thing and got zero feedback from the audience. No one even commented on
silence.
The jokes. Yeah, just silence, which I took as being golden, you know? I mean, silence is a good response to comedy, right?
Of course, yes. There's all kinds of response. Silence is probably the worst one. But anyway, that goes way back to Jonathan Swift and his joke about because of the world, there was poverty and a plague going on. And Swift made the joke, Modest Proposal, which famous, of course, it means let's eat the children. And, you know, I mean, everybody with any brain knew he was a satirist to start with. So, got a lot of laughs out of it. And, you know, of course, he was making some political stabs at this person or that. But Swift is one that sort of started that kind of sort of a little bit sick old humor. And but I loved it right from the start. I started reading Jonathan Swift. It's not, and I don't really like the taste of the kids I've eaten. Never mind. But no, anyway, that's a bad joke. But,
There's a lot of good bad jokes out there, so we appreciate it.
There's bad jokes out there. Sometimes we cross the line, and it's all right.
I do more often than normal, more often than not. George, thank you so much, and we'll be having the return engagement here soon, I think. We'll see.
Good.
All right.
I'll be here.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
And that was George calling from Michigan, the number two spot in our first segment on a Wednesday night. Did you like the suspense I was building there? I've been working on suspense. Been working on suspense.
You're getting better at it.
Thank you for that. All right, now we're going to... See, at the moment I start laughing, it's all gone, man. I could never pull off the James Bond character kind of thing because he's always so... calm and collected. And I'm just cannibal jokes. It doesn't work.
No.
Doesn't
not
work.
Not with James Bond.
He's like, he leans over, he looks at a woman and goes,
did you hear about the two cannibals eating in the woods? They're eating a clown. One turned to the other and said, does this taste funny to you? See, it doesn't.
It doesn't play, yeah.
It doesn't play. It doesn't play. It's like the Pepperidge. All right, let's go now to Eric in Texas. Hey, Eric, how's it going, sir? I hope that's the highway and not the bathroom. Just. Oh, Eric.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing real well, real well. It's good to hear your voice again, my friend.
Good to hear yours too. Sorry, I've been absent forever.
It's all right.
I'm going on. Yeah, well, I'm working as a landscaper and building maintenance, and I travel a lot. And sometimes we work 12 to 18 hours a day. So, but I'm also on hiatus. So I decided to finally come back.
That's awesome. We're really happy that that you could do it, and thanks for doing it on a Wednesday night here. It helps us kind of. It's the first time we've done this, so you're helping support the effort here.
Well, you're welcome, and thanks for having the platform.
Hey, you got it, man. What do you have for us?
Well, I have two poems. Are you doing two or just one right now?
We'll just do one, and then we'll do a return engagement here in a bit.
Okay, that's cool. Well, this is one of my turning point poems, so I'm kind of doing self-discovery and amongst other things, so I'm going from cynicism to positivism, I guess is what I'm calling it, so
okay.
Trying to look better physically and mentally and have like a better approach to life, I guess, so.
Good for you.
It's called Making My Own Wretchedness. That's what the poem's called. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. Making my own wretchedness. Finally, I am realizing that both good and bad things have continuously been done to and for me by others. But who is truly to blame but myself for never controlling my reactions and not allowing these things to affect me, which were mainly negatively. And instead, I just blew up and threw a tantrum like a two-year-old child, screaming, yelling, complaining, whining, nagging about how it was unfair because I wasn't ever getting my way or that I had to do things that I truly did not want to do. Nor am I even interested in doing what I do for a job, hanging out with other negative people who are constantly stuck in their own wretchedness and do the same that I had done for the majority of my life up until now, trying to put a stop to my never-ending circular cycles of wretchedness, always thinking negatively and pessimistically about my life and myself, thinking that I am always destined for failure and distraught no matter what I do or don't do. Of course, I'm not perfect, and I still slip up every now and again, fighting with myself on every decision that I make or don't make definitely doesn't help either. Now is the time for me to take myself back from my current self, in which I have created and become completely true to myself. Sorry, I lost my spot. Hang on a second. I have created and become completely true to myself, to stop being overly introverted, more so than extroverted, to stop doubting myself about everything that I think and or create, to stop being so hard on myself, to stop letting everything that I am for or against to piss me off, to start thinking before I act or make a decision and not just letting my rage and anger engulf me without me thinking. No need for me to be a pansy crybaby. Whenever I don't get my way, no need for me to continue forcing my biases onto everyone else, either in my poetry or even in real life, conversations with others. No need for me to not be the perfect lover as I can be, creating my own wretchedness hasn't been any fun at all. However, realizing and admitting it to myself should definitely help me overcome it instead of enduring. God's in peace.
I can commend the spirit in that piece. You know, I understand the development, the intense self-development that goes through, especially after going through something like you've been going through over the last couple of years, you know?
Right. And thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, we appreciate you, my friend. Thank you. And thanks for calling and sharing with us. It's meaningful to us.
Yes, thanks so much. I really do appreciate you guys and the platform. And like I said, I'm trying to, I don't know exactly, find a straight path or whatever you want to call it. It's like I'm leaving Dionysus, and I revered Dionysus of Sinope forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm coming to be a modern man. So it's like I'm a caveman becoming into the modern world, I guess.
You're bringing in some Apollo here, huh?
Yeah.
All right, man.
Something like that.
leaning into the Apollonian. I appreciate that, my friend.
That's it.
All right, man. Well, we're gonna have the return engagement here in fairly short order. So if you can stick her up, we'll do another segment here. Okay.
I definitely will. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And I'll talk to you in a little while.
We'll talk to you in a bit. Bye. Thank you, sir. That was Eric calling from a roadside in Texas somewhere. I feel fairly secure in saying that, unless he's one of those guys who likes to play sound effects to feel relaxed at home.
It's very possible.
I like to feel like I'm sleeping right next to a highway.
Okay. I have nothing to say against that.
I get the sound of the Enterprise when the alarm's going off and people are swaying from side to side, and I just loop that for 8 hours while I sleep.
That's awesome.
That is when I'm just the most comfortable.
Yeah.
Every now and then you'll hear in the background, "Damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, not up." You know,
right.
And and then Scotty cursing over the radio.
Right.
All right. Hey. So we need to do a second segment.
Yes.
So I've been saying the return.
Okay.
We might be surprised and bombarded here, but we do need to do a second segment. I know that Dennis has called, so hopefully we'll be able to get him in on that thing. So let's do the second segment, number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
This is not the return engagement. This is the second segment. You can call us also on Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Let's do this. Christine?
Yes, Michael.
You know what you get when you throw four chickens in a bathtub?
Pure poultry.
That's right. World Poultry Open Mic.
Mm, that's nice.
I got to be honest, that's one of my favorite bumpers. I remember that.
Pure poultry.
Well, I think it was when we were sitting around, wasn't it? We were just, because we would literally, the way we record these, we sit down and you just have Christine and I just go off.
Yeah.
And then you edit out ones. But I think it was literally started with, Christine, what do you do when you throw four chickens in a bathtub or something like that?
Yep.
I just threw that out of nowhere, and her response was pure poultry.
Uh-huh.
That was really solid. I think most, was that all improvised? We might have read
that. Yes, no, that was all improvised.
That was just straight up improvised?
I'm going, all right.
That's a good one. I like that. She was good. She's sharp on that.
She is.
All right. Hey, we've got one caller, which is more than I thought we were going to have for the whole show anyway. But this is a guy who's number one, and he deserves to be number one. Let's go now to Dennis in Michigan. Hello, Dennis. Welcome.
Oh, yes. Here I am.
Hello. It's pretty amazing. This is a Wednesday night. It feels a little strange.
It does feel strange, but that's okay. A lot of things feel strange in October.
You know, that's very true. You know, and I was actually thinking about it, JT, because we started the show and I said, I don't think we've done one. I think when Maya Angelou passed, we might have done, because we did a special show.
Oh,
and that might
maybe
have been on a Wednesday night. Yeah. But
okay.
I think maybe that's the only time. That's the only time. Anyway, we're happy you could join us. Dennis, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, yes. I invited others. I just hope some of them show up. But
hey, we'll see. And then
here we are.
Here we are. And, you know, we'll still work on it. And, you know, and we'll see who's coming in the, you know, the next couple of weeks as well. We'll just see what happens.
That's right. And I'm sure there'll be more showing up and a whole bunch of people knocking at that door, trying to get to the mic. At least I hope so.
Yeah, we hope so. But not too many, because we want everyone to still be able to get in every week. That's the other side. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So what do you have for us?
Well, when I was doing my research for the poet of the month last month, I followed some wrong tracks, and I jumped down some wrong rabbit holes. But when I did, I come up with some treasures. So I would like to share with you a poem that of the one of the poets I thought it might be, and I was wrong. I thought it might be Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and he's known for Sherlock Holmes, of course, but he wrote poetry also. And I thought he fit one of some of the clues, but not enough. So
that's ironic.
I'm going to read. Yes, yes. So I'm going to read a poem by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and I think it's fitting for the month of October. The title is The Old Huntsman. There's a keen and grim old huntsman on a horse as white as snow. Sometimes he's very swift, and sometimes he is slow. But he never is at fault, for he always hunts at view, and he rides without a halt after you. The huntsman's name is Death. His horse's name is Time. He is coming. He is coming as I sit and write this rhyme. He is coming. He is coming as you read the rhyme I write. You can hear the hoofs low drumming day and night. You can hear the distant drumming as the clock goes tick-a-tack and the chiming of the hours is the music of his pack. You may hardly note their growling underneath the noonday sun, but at night you'll hear them howling as they run. And they never check or falter, for they never miss their kill. Seasons change and systems alter, but the hunt is running still. Hark, the evening chime is playing, o'er the long gray town it peals. Don't you hear the death hounds baying at your heels? Where is there an earth or burrow? Where a cover left for you? A year, a week, or perhaps tomorrow brings the huntsman's death halloo. Day by day he gains upon us, and the most that we can claim is that when the hounds are on us, we die game. And somewhere dwells the master, by whom it was decreed he sent the savage huntsman. He bred the snow-white steed. These hounds which run forever, he set them on your track. He hears you scream, but never calls them back. He does not heed our suing. We never see his face. He hunts to our undoing. We thank him for the chase. We thank him and we flatter. We hope because we must. But have we cause? No matter. Let us trust. End of poem. A poem by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
I really loved that choice, actually. And
piece.
Yeah, cool read, Dennis. I think that really fit well with your reading style.
Well, yeah, that was a nice one. I read it through a few times. That'll work. And but there are other poems of his that came up too. So I might share a few of those. So that is my contribution to the second segment of this show.
Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. And thank you for that. And we look forward to, you know, I think this month, since there's so many shows, we might have to do a themed night or two. You know, maybe we'll do something fun to kind of, we're going to kind of experiment and see ways to spice things up a bit.
All right. Will there be any Poet of the Month clues on Wednesdays?
No, I think I think that we're probably going to do them on Fridays to kind of keep that same thing going. However, if we decide to do them on a Wednesday, I will let you know directly. It'll still be, you know, we were talking about some different ways to do it just actually right before the show started, but we didn't set on anything firmly. So I would just count on them being Fridays this month. We may do something, but it won't be, maybe not this month, that we mess with when the clues come out.
All right.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
All right.
Thank you very much. I'm going to step aside and let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. Thank you, sir. And that was Dennis Kahn from Michigan, number one in the second spot. But that's not number one in second place. That's a number one. You know?
And Heat number two? Is that
Yeah. You know.
Never mind. It's not a race.
So, JT, I'm embarrassed. I got to say something. I went to Taco Bell the other day.
Oh, you went to Taco Bell.
And there is this thing that they have. It's like a chalupa, but there's cheese on the outside of it.
Yeah, the fried up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I swear to God that thing's got to be 2,000 calories on its own.
Probably.
But it was so good. And then I ate it. And nothing bad happened.
No regret.
Well, why feel regret over food? It's kind of dumb, actually, right?
Good point.
You just ate the food. You might as well enjoy it. And just like, maybe I'm going to try not to do that again.
Right.
But the thing is, they say that fast food is addictive as heroin.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I kind of believe it. Because I have not stopped thinking about that damn taco ever since.
Did they do the first one free?
No.
See?
But it was cheap.
There's that. Oh.
It was cheap. It was like $5 for that and like two tacos as well and a drink.
Oh, okay. So it's a box.
It's
kit
the box thing. Yeah. Okay. It comes in a kit.
Kit.
Speaking of kits, I saw something from the 1950s, I think it was.
Okay.
1940s, a children's chemistry set.
Yes.
Did you see this? It had cyanide and uranium in it.
Isn't it awesome?
Who the hell did that?
You know, we learned a lot.
That was a
really
time.
Quick.
That was when people were tough.
Yep.
Kids were tough.
Well, okay, so I read somewhere, 1978, they stopped allowing, or, yeah, 78 or 80 some odd, or early 80s,
yeah.
They stopped allowing very specific books into any library because the paint that they used on the covers was made with lead.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, wait a minute. All those rich, vibrant colors I played with as a kid were lead-based? I'm still here. Got a little twitch going on, but I'm still here.
Yikes. Okay.
Our chemistry sets were real, man. Yeah, right on, George.
They seem real. I'd hate to see your home magic kits. All right. Literally saw someone in half.
Try and figure that one out. There's blood everywhere. We know exactly what happened.
That reminds me of a song, an old blues song. I done a bad, bad thing. Cut my brother in half. If you've seen Walk Hard, you get that joke. If you haven't, don't worry about it. All right. I think it's time for something special, a segment we like to refer to as the Return Engagement.
Engagement.
Engagement. That's right. The return engagement, ladies and gentlemen. So that means anybody who wants to call in for the first time can. Anybody who wants to call back and share another piece, you can as well. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
I got to say, if anybody here who's listening, who likes listening to music, who was just listening to that last song and remembers liking it, look up Jacob Collier and Jacob Collier's version of that song. Apparently, a producer who's worked with Sting named Kipper, great, great producer, sent Jacob Collier's song to Sting to see what Sting thought of it. And Sting never really responds, apparently, very enthusiastically. Not that he hates music, he's just not really enthusiastic about it. And he responded back going, "This is insanely good." I mean, just really loved it. Jacob Collier is kind of one of those special guys. His mentors quickly became, after he got famous, quickly became like Quincy Jones, Herbie Hancock, like high-level guys, right? And, yeah, so I would look it up. Jacob Collier, every little thing she does is magic. It's actually pretty, pretty fantastic. All right, we are here in the return engagement. We've got four awesome people. You've heard from them already tonight. But let's just get right into it. And then I've got something special we're going to do just to extend the time a little bit, okay? And I haven't really told you about it yet, JT.
All right.
But we're just going to get into it, okay?
Okay. Okay.
But before we do that, let's go right into the poetry. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, I'm back.
Hello, welcome back.
Well, thank you.
All
right. I didn't have time to take a nap, though.
I know. Isn't that funny how
George probably did, but okay.
George is dreaming of trucks driving through his poetry readings.
Yes.
Oh.
And all right. Well, let's get the ball rolling. I'm going to give you another Sir Arthur Conan Doyle poem. This poem, the title is Night Voices. Father, father, who is that a whispering? Who is it who whispers in the wood? You say it is the breeze as it sighs among the trees, but there's someone who whispers in the wood. Father, father, who is that a murmuring? Who is it who murmurs in the night? You say it is the roar of the wave upon the shore, but there's someone who murmurs in the night. Father, father, who is it that laughs at us? Who is it who chuckles in the glen? Oh, father, let us go, for the light is burning low, and there's someone laughing in the glen. Father, father, tell me what you are waiting for. Tell me why your eyes are on the door. It is dark and it is late, but you sit so still and straight, ever staring, ever smiling at the door. End of poem. A poem by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Wow. You know, I haven't even read his poetry much, and I think I'm going to have to do that now.
Yes, he had more than Sherlock Holmes in his head.
Yes, I think he did.
Didn't he get pretty sick of Sherlock Holmes? At some point, he was just really done, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I will definitely have to look it up, but that was a wonderful introduction. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. And it was a pleasure to read that for you. And thank you. Like Zach said, thank you for the format. And thank you for being here for us. We sure do appreciate it. And it's twice as good in October. And we are so glad that we have the opportunity, and it's all thanks to you and JT, and we look forward to the rest of the month as well. So I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say, God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless, Dennis. Thank you. We'll see you on Friday. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, leading off our return engagement segment. Such a fancy way of saying we're being fancy when we have a return engagement.
Yes.
Would you like to would you like to attend a return engagement instead of would you like to call back in again? We're going to do another. Okay.
Yeah.
After all, we are a show about words.
We are.
That is
fancy
true.
Fancy words. Sometimes.
Fancy words. Not once have we used the word kumquat on this show, though. Have you noticed that?
Not in good context.
Not in appropriate context.
That's what I mean.
I'm sure it was used at least once or twice by somebody during an After Dark segment. Once or twice.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Well, that was horrifying. Okay, let's go to George in Michigan. Hello, George. Welcome back.
Hello. Hello. Yes. Nice. I love that one by Dennis. That, perfectly timely for the season and all that stuff.
Always. Yeah.
The one I've got is another autumn poem, one of my number two in the string of two. And it's called Mourning the Fallen Leaf. Should we mourn the fallen leaf as it decomposes as fuel for next year's abundance? Like we mourn the fallen human as it is cremated as emissions for next year's global warming, which will damage the climate's welcome for trees. As participants in the earthly sphere, we humans pretend we added more value than the 300-year-old oak. To really help the future, we need to drop leaves of golden harmony and wisdom so that they can fuel our prodigy in a way that keeps the earth going. I would be deeply honored if my fallen leaves turn golden and become the nurturing soil for my grandchildren, who just might grow a world of sustenance and peace. And a peace.
Oh, very well done. I enjoyed that. JT, what do you think?
Oh, I enjoyed that very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I was wondering if fig leaves curl up in the fall.
And to answer your question, I don't think our aspens have quite turned. They're starting to, though. It's dependent on you are in the state. So,
yeah, I figured up in the continental divide is probably they're probably all turned by now.
Yeah,
but as they come down into the city, I know there's some stands of them around the city, and so they're still green probably at this time. Yeah, yeah,
in parts.
Well,
yeah.
You know, it's funny. Do you, I don't know, you guys are on the west side of the city. Do you ever get elk coming down in the neighborhoods, or is that pretty much too far away from the elk?
You know, I haven't had elk. I've had deer before. There's been a brown bear and two cubs in the neighborhood recently, which is something really yeah. And there's occasionally been a mountain lion or two. In the area, yeah. But not elk. I mean, I'm sure it wouldn't be that far of a jump, though, but not elk.
Yeah. I know my daughter-in-law is a runner, marathon runner, and she often runs on North and South Table Mountains.
Oh, yeah.
You know, up on the trails out there. She has encountered the scat of mountain lions a couple times. And, of course, it's no secret that they're up there. They've been spotted. You know, so she makes her just a touch nervous when she rounds a bend and sees a pile of scat that
absolutely yeah.
is a friendly fire. And so anyway, she that's not very far from Golden and even from the city itself. Okay, well, I'll step away and let someone else go.
All right. Hey, George, thanks so much for making a point of calling in and listening in tonight, and we appreciate it. And we'll see you on Friday, hopefully.
You will.
All Thanks. Right. Thank Bye. You. And that was George calling from Michigan, the number two spot in our return engagement. All right. So now we are going to a little place I like to call not that number, the other the place I like to call Upstate New York, because everyone else calls it that too. Let's go to Zach. Hey, Zach.
Hey, I'm back.
Hey. You are. How's it going?
Hey, it's going good. You know, you guys were talking about how Arthur Conan Doyle got sick of writing. He got sick of writing him, and you know, that makes me think of the reason I went to film school was because of Disney and you know, A.A. Milne, who created Winnie the Pooh. He really resented the fact that Winnie the Pooh was his most recognized work, because he was actually a poet. He was a World War II writer, I think. He wrote about the war and everything, and he really resented it when people said that they loved Winnie the Pooh.
Yep.
You know, which, you know, in some respect, I can understand that. On the other hand, at some point, you have to be able to pull yourself back from what you think you should be versus the way that the world seems to be working for you, right? I mean, how many writers would have loved to have that problem? You know, and it's interesting to see how it was processed potentially. I mean, this is all hearsay, but processed differently than that.
Personal problems.
Yeah, personal problems, exactly.
So, I said first world problems.
Oh, first world, yes. That's even better than first world problems. That's 1.5 world problems, yeah. Or wait, half world problems? No, that
there
doesn't even
go.
Make
it
sense.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter. Let's just not get into that. Anyway, Zach, what do you have for us this time?
This time, it's actually the first poem that I ever wrote. But it talks about 9/11. So I do update it because of how long it's been. But it's called "People of Today." So I'll just get right in it. I don't know what to say when I look at the people of today. We acknowledge the world's gotten worse and still act like it's okay. The people of today fight in wars for reasons it seems they don't understand, and ask that we support them while they invade a foreign land. Yes, I know the people of yesterday did this as well, when they killed innocent people in America before they burned in hell. But what the people of today don't seem to understand is the best way to heal is to take each other by the hand. It's been 18 years since that day in 2001. Now it's time to stop fighting so we can take care of everyone. People of today, please keep something in mind. The people of tomorrow are coming, and we need to ensure they won't be blind. If we don't tell them how to learn from the past, the people of tomorrow might be the last. People of today, carpe diem, seize the day. Come home so we can sing, heal, and be gay. End of poem.
Carpe that diem. That's what I have to say. I really like that one, Zach, and I can completely agree.
I mean, you know, I know that the people, you know, that taking each other by the hand isn't going to solve everything, but I was just going for a rhyme there. But, you know, I do think that we need more unity, like back in the day when the Coke and Pepsi wars, that Coke commercial that took everything over was "I want to buy the world a Coke," and they're all singing on the mountaintop.
Yep,
that's true. That's true. That's why the footage of me in nothing but lederhosen singing about togetherness on a mountain, I have a feeling really has a chance of bringing this whole world together in mutual hatred and disgust of me.
Hey, at least it would have brought the world together on something.
That's true. That is very true.
It just takes one guy to be like, I don't know, I think he's great.
Oh, man!
Come on!
But yeah, that was actually my first poem back in 2014. And I was...
All the way back in 2014. Yeah.
I was in college waiting for economics, and the all of a sudden the world people, the words people of today came in my head, and I wrote it in about 10 minutes. I was just like, oh my gosh, what's this concept? And then my friend told me to keep going, and I haven't looked back.
That's good. Awesome. That's great.
Yeah, really happy to hear that. And
what was your first poem?
My first poem? I found my, well, I don't think it was my first. I think I found a poem that I wrote when I was 9, so 30 years ago. But I think there was more before that. I started writing music when I was 6. So, so between there, 6 and 9, probably.
Wow, that's crazy.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, we all come to it different ways. It doesn't matter. We all come to it different ways. And it just matters that we get there. We all have our own processes. There is no reason to compare one person to another.
I'm, like I said, I'm just glad I have the opportunity to share with you guys. I'm glad that you guys enjoy my pieces, and
We love it, and we're so happy that you're you know, part of the community here. It means a lot, and I didn't expect you to be able to call tonight, so I'm really happy that you did.
Yeah, the first time in probably about a year that I've had a Wednesday off. So I didn't have it off. I worked 11 to 7, and I actually have next week off, next Wednesday. So
no kidding,
I will be for next Wednesday too.
Well, that's great. We're looking forward to it.
All right, I will let the next person step up.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Zach. We appreciate you, buddy.
We appreciate you.
All right. Bye. And that was Zach calling from New York, the third spot here in our return engagement. Man, I know it sounds funny. It just means a lot that people actually called tonight.
Yeah.
I can't describe. I feel like, JT, you totally get what I'm saying with this, but it's like, it's probably hard for, it's probably harder for people who call in to understand how much it means that they listen in.
Yes.
That's big. That's big. All right. Excuse me. All right. So we're going to head now to Texas. Let's connect with Eric. Hello, Eric.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, buddy? Welcome back.
Doing good. How you guys doing?
Doing real well. Thank you, sir. Now, let me ask you, just because we're curious, where are you standing right now?
Where am I standing? I'm sitting.
Okay, you're sitting? Okay. So are you near a highway?
Yes, I am. I wanted to create a little white noise ambiance for autumn.
All right, there you go. Well, perfect. we thought we'd ask, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. Now, actually, my dad's staying with my dad right now, and we stay in a two-bedroom apartment, but it's a big two-bedroom apartment. That's like a house, and it's a metal building. So I'm outside because I don't have cell service inside. So
okay, sure. That makes sense.
I thought it'd be cool to give you an explanation, you know.
Yeah.
For autumn, you know. So.
Understood.
Anyways, I got Autumn's Worship is my poem, and it's about autumn, of course, and Halloween and fall and whatever. I'm going to censor some of it because you probably don't want to hear it, but that's all right. You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Autumn's Worship. Frightful nightmares. Terrific night state. Demented beautification. Twisted, haunted, haunted. Tortured, tales. Wretching rot. Accursed heresies. Condemned blasphemers. Macabre madness. Gothic scenery and decor, death and decay, admiration and worship, black and white witchcraft, voodoo, and sangria, rites, rituals, and sacrifices, dressing up like dead, demons, gold, goblins, witches, warlocks, zombies, vampires and bad spirits in order to scare off real evil spirits from crossing over on All Hallows Eve and Day of the Dead Eve at midnight, when spiritual realm and our realm are open for crossing over both ways for our ancestors to come visit and dine with us. Zombify beings, rectification. Vampires, mythologies, werewolves, legends, were-jaguars, were-whatevers, stories, Mary Shelley's Victor Frankenstein, nameless reanimated life monsters, fiery, bloody, gory, and sugar skulls, jack-o'-lanterns carved as whatever, either pumpkins or turnip, bloody, gory stories, horrific, scary sights, exhilarating freak shows, tarot card readings, crystal ball fortune telling, trick-or-treating, bone fires became bonfires, warding away and conjuring up spirits, evil and good, sacrificing to the harvest god, hoping and praying for a bountiful harvest, chanting incantation. Isn't autumn's worship by mankind so much fun? That's in peace.
Very, very cool, man. I miss those list poems of yours. That's cool.
Yes, and thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Hey,
absolutely. You guys know Halloween is my birthday. I'm really big into Halloween and Day of the Dead.
I don't think I knew that. I don't think I remembered that, Eric, for some reason.
Okay.
Well, cool.
Well, now you know.
I do now.
I don't worship, you know, whatever. I don't do anything bad on Halloween, but
sure.
I do practice, you know, I like the stuff that I described in my poem, but I don't do spells or anything like that, and I actually don't believe in crossing over spirits or anything, but it's kind of a myth, I guess you could say, or a legend that certain people believe in. So that's why I wanted to accumulate as much as I could, you know, about it without being too bad. So
absolutely, absolutely. Well, hey, you know, I really, really appreciate you, sir. Thank you so much. And we'll hopefully talk to you next time.
Yes. Yes, we'll hopefully.
All right.
That'll be on Friday, right?
Yes, sir. That's just
okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Real soon.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Glad you like my poem. And I'll try to read some more positive ones.
Hey.
As well. I got several of them. And just basically self-reflection and mastery and amongst other things. I haven't mastered myself yet, so, but I'm trying. That's what counts, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Hey, we appreciate you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you so much, sir, and have a great night. I'll hit you guys up on Friday.
Sounds good.
Hopefully I'm not working too late. So it's still 8 p.m. Mountain Time, sir.
All right. We're looking forward to it. Yes, sir.
All right. Awesome. Well, have a great week, and I'll hit you guys up on Friday. Thanks so much, sir.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye. And that was Eric Kahn from Texas rounding out our return engagement segment. Man, that's been really cool tonight to have these callers. You know, I feel kind of bad, though, because I feel like the show has been it's been a little short, you know?
Uh-huh. I mean, we've got an hour of show in.
We got an hour show, but you know, I feel like I want to add something else.
Okay.
Now, so, JT, just stick with me here, but before I do that, because this is going to be a little long, okay?
Oh, okay.
So let's just do the proper thing. So
okay.
From JT, all from right. Myself, from Ursa the Studio Dog, from Novia the Studio Cat, thank you so much, everyone. And now, please enjoy me doing a live, complete reading of Little Women by Louisa May Alcott. Maestro. Chapter 1. Playing Pilgrims. Christmas won't be Christmas without presents, grumbled Joe, lying on the rug. It's so dreadful to be poor, sighed Meg, looking down at her old dress. I don't think it's fair for some girls to have plenty of pretty things and other girls nothing at all, added little Amy, with an injured sniff. We've got father and mother and each other, said Beth, contentedly from her corner. The four young faces on which the firelight shone brightened at the cheerful words.
but darkened again as Joe said sadly, "We haven't got Father, and we shall not have him for a long time." She didn't say, "Perhaps never," but each silently added it, thinking of Father far away, where the fighting was. Nobody spoke for a minute. Then Meg said in an altered tone, "You know the reason Mother proposed not having any presents this Christmas was because it was going to be a hard winter for everyone. She thinks we ought not to spend money for pleasure when our men are suffering so in the army. We can't do much, but we can make our little sacrifices, and ought to do it gladly. But I'm afraid I don't." And Meg shook her head as she thought regretfully of all the pretty things she wanted. "But I don't think the little we should spend would do any good. We've each got a dollar, and the army wouldn't be much help by our giving that. I agree not to expect anything from Mother or you, but I do want to buy..." Sorry. Let me get back on. Excuse me. There was a really terrible innuendo there. I'm just going to skip it. "But I do want to buy Undyne and Suntron for myself. I've wanted it for so long," said Joe, who was a bookworm. "I plan to spend mine in new music," said Beth, with a little sigh, which no one heard but the hearth brush and kettle holder. "I shall get a nice box of Faber's drawing pencils. I really need them," said Amy decidedly. "Mother didn't say anything about our money. She won't wish us giving up everything. Let's each buy what we want and have a little fun. I'm sure we will work hard enough to earn it," cried Joe, examining the heat.